Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. We're here today in the middle of the country talking to Wayne Sturby from Manitoba. Wayne, welcome to CHP Talks.
Rod, it's just a real pleasure to finally get a chance to meet you, and thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk to people who are very closely aligned with your party.
Well, thank you very much, and we're happy with people all across the country. Anyone who is standing for the principles of righteousness and want to restore some common sense, sanity, fiscal sanity, moral sanity to this country and to the provinces and cities in which they live. I'm on a tight schedule today. We're about to. I live up in northern British Columbia in the beautiful Bulkley Valley, and we start our fall fair this evening with the fall fair parade. And then the next few days, we will be at the Bulkley Valley Fall Fair with a booth there talking about some of the same things that we'll be talking about today on this program. So I'm going to give you a little introduction just so that folks know a little bit about who you are. And so Wayne Sturby was born January 5, 1957 in Flin Flon, Manitoba. By the way, Wayne, you want to know that I grow Flin Flon tomatoes in my greenhouse. I love them. I actually got them from a lady in Alberta, but when I think of Flin Flon, I always think of those wonderful tomatoes. So Wayne graduated from River East Collegiate in 1975. He moved to Snow Lake, Manitoba in 1978 to work in the mining industry. And he worked for 7 years as a miner and a long hole driller at several of the mines in operation at depths of 4,000 feet. He met his wife in Snow Lake and has been married for 41 years. Congratulations. They have two children and five grandchildren. After quitting mining in 1985, he started working in the field of financial services and has remained in this field. And he did remain in this field until 1991. And during this time, his family moved to the PAW, and he became a substitute school teacher in the junior and senior high schools. Later, he worked with his parents beginning in 1991 to help them establish their own trucking company. His responsibilities included dealing with compliance issues, driver recruitment and training and maintenance. In 2010, he became a civil servant for the province of Manitoba, and he continues to work for them in the Department of Justice. And last but not least, he now leads a provincial political party, the Manitoba Party, and he is a candidate in the upcoming election in the district, provincial district of Winkler-Morden. So again, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking time to join us today.
My pleasure, Rod. Thank you very much.
And just 1 second, I got to get back to my screen here. And so, Wayne, how long has the Manitoba Party been in existence? I think there's a little bit of a history there, but you don't have to go into all the details, but you helped to form the Manitoba Party.
Yeah, we've been in existence since roughly 2015. In 2016, we became official and ran in the general election. We fielded 17 candidates that year, and I've been involved with the Manitoba Party ever since then. We've gone through some growing pains, as other political parties do, so it's not unusual. We're still kind of in the early stages, but we're hoping that this election is going to be a major turnaround for us. To really help put on display for the people of this province exactly what the Manitoba Party wants to offer. We're a party of hope. We're a party of restoring the things that have been taken away from us, the things that we have lost. And we think that we're going to have some real success in October of this year.
Wonderful. That election is October the... The third, or what's the date of the election?
October 3rd.
Yeah, wonderful.
All right.
Manitoba can look forward to positive change on October 3rd if people will vote for the good principles that you represent. I noticed on your website, homeschooling and private education, a couple of the things that your party has talked about and seem to be hot button issues in Manitoba. Can you tell us a little bit about your party philosophy regarding education?
Well, that's a great place for me to begin, Rod, because education, I think right now, is maybe the number one issue that people are thinking about. It's the one that I've probably devoted the most of my time to researching. And it's something that's very, very close to me. As you said in the introduction, I was a substitute school teacher in the PAW for a few years, and I very much enjoyed that experience. When it comes to education, and we'll talk about the sort of like the collateral issues that go along with it, but the first thing about education really has to do with the public school system, the curriculum, and the failures that we're experiencing. And it's not just in Manitoba, it's right across the country. We have forgotten what education even means. A few years ago, the province of Manitoba did a project on reforming education. They spent a lot of money on it, and they came up with what they thought was a solution. And I was told by people that I knew very, very well within the Conservative Party that I was going to love this. Well, I read this thing over and thoroughly. There wasn't a single word in there about education. All it was a restructuring, giving more and more control to the central government, depriving parents more and more of their say. And nothing in there about how we're going to improve the results of our education system. So one of the things that we have researched to a great extent, Rod, is number one, understanding what education is. Number two, looking at the various theories of education. Number three, looking at the various forms of how do you deliver the best education system. So we're a big fan of classical education. We're a big fan of charter schools. I'm not really sure if charter schools really is the way that Canadians would do it, but I've studied a great deal, and I've talked to many, many school headmasters in the States about this. The thing that we would want to offer most to the people of Manitoba is school choice. If you want to homeschool, we want to make it as easy as possible for you. We want to provide resources to you. We want to make sure that we can help you benefit the most from the homeschool experience. Both of my children graduated from a private school in Winnipeg. Now, it was a faith-based school. The fees were very, very nominal. It was very easy for us to do that. A lot of people don't have that option, but we would like to give people the option of private schooling. Let's just say, for instance, that you find 20 families that want to pool their resources and they want to hire their own teacher and they want to have their children attend this. We don't think that it's fair for those parents to have to pay twice, one to the province, and then two for their own education system that they want to create. So we believe completely in school choice, and we want to make sure that parents have the ultimate say in what their kids are taught, how they're taught, and we want to make sure that the parents have the right to protect their children from things that they think are harmful and dangerous to them. And that's really where we could get into the very pervasive SOGI curriculum that is just going all across North America right now. SOGI stands for sexual orientation and gender identity. And Rod, I think the best place to begin with that is by saying there isn't anybody that we dislike. There isn't anybody that we think should be ostracized or that we should not treat fairly. We love the Manitoba Party loves this province. We love the people of this province. And we know very, very well that there are young children who are struggling. You could call it mental illness. You could call it a social contagion. I'm not really sure what would be the number one reason. But whatever the reason is that they're struggling with their identity, the Manitoba Party has a great deal of compassion for them. And we want to make sure that they get the best help. But the best help is not what they're currently being given. That is rushed through a psychological process and then straight into hormone therapy, puberty blockers, and then eventually surgery. So while they might talk about creating safe spaces, what they actually are doing is they're creating very dangerous spaces. And the Manitoba Party takes that issue very seriously. We want to protect children. Ultimately, we want to give them all the help and all the resources that that they need, not to become factors of production, which is what our education system is now, but to become great and happy citizens, contributing citizens to this country.
Tremendous, tremendous. I'm totally in favor of school choice. We've endorsed it federally and provincially here in BC with the Christian Heritage Party of British Columbia. We've endorsed a voucher system, but one way or another, you're exactly right. Parents should not have to pay twice for their children's education. And if a homeschool, a charter school, a private school of some sort can do a better job for the same price, or less, generally they operate on a much lower budget. But if they can do a better job for the same money, why shouldn't it be paid for that way with the existing system, right? People shouldn't be punished.
I agree.
And children shouldn't be punished by a system that doesn't allow for parental rights and parental involvement and for students to actually choose the kind of education that they want. So thank you for that.
Right.
And you've already touched on the gender ideology, which pervades a lot of areas. It also goes into the area of free speech as opposed to compelled speech. And that goes into the area of medical freedom as well, and all the kinds of freedoms that have been under attack the last few years in Canada. I see you have a good section on your website dealing with the questions of personal choice and freedom when it comes to medical decisions. So you want to speak a little bit about that?
Well, absolutely. Now, when you were giving me the introduction and reading my bio, you mentioned that in 2010, I became a civil servant. I actually became a corrections officer. I was at Headingley Correctional Center for 10 years. And then for 2 years, I was redeployed downtown. But the reason that I'm no longer in the civil service is that I was terminated from my employment by the government for refusing to take the vaccination and for refusing to subject myself to the mandatory testing. And I'll just kind of tell you a little bit about my personal story, because I haven't met anybody yet who made the diligent efforts that I did. First of all, we investigated very clearly the vaccine itself, and we found good reasons to refuse to take it. But secondly, with the mandatory testing, the government was making available at no charge to their employees this test that we would have to take every 48 hours. Well, I actually phoned the company that produced the test in Massachusetts, and I asked to speak to somebody who would be able to answer some difficult questions regarding the manufacture, regarding all of the essential things in there. Now, in the literature, this is really what kind of provoked my interest and the need for me to make further inquiries. In the literature, it says about taking the test, and then it says the second test is not to be taken before 24 hours and no later than 48. But it doesn't talk about a third test, a fourth test, a fifth test, and so on and so on. And so I asked them, what are the risks if this thing goes on indefinitely for several weeks, for several months, or for even a year? And they could not answer any question. They could not offer any reassurance or any guarantees. Now, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the Bill of Rights in Canada make it very, very clear that we have a bodily autonomy, and the government cannot impose medical treatment on us if we refuse it. And here's the funny thing, Rod. As a corrections officer, we often escorted inmates to medical appointments and sometimes for medical treatment. They always had the right of refusal. Even though they were in custody, we did not have the right to impose any kind of medical treatment. And at any time they said, no, take me away. I don't want to stay here. And while the government was imposing vaccinations and testing on its employees, the inmates who were living in close quarters were never required to take a vaccination. They were never required to do testing. We believe that every individual in this country has the right to refuse any kind of medical treatment. It should never be the purvey of the government, provincial or federal, to impose its will on any person for any reason.
And it makes sense to me that you, as a correctional officer, servant of the Manitoba government, should be treated at least as well as those inmates that you are responsible for. And of course, if your fellow correctional officers would have been, if they may have been vaccinated, if they chose to be vaccinated, they would be exposed to unvaccinated inmates. So what's the difference? I just heard someone else talking about the fact that as a police officer, I think it was in Edmonton, I heard this on Laura Lynn, he had to eat at a separate table if he was unvaccinated. And yet these police officers are interacting with the public every day with no control over who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. So anyway, thank you. And of course, those draconian measures taken in Manitoba and British Columbia and Ontario, all across the country, have certainly set us back, I don't know how many decades, in terms of our concept of personal freedom and respect for the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So
yeah,
thank you for taking a stand. I'm sorry that you lost a job as a result, but maybe now, as you're running for office, you can help others to come out from under the thumb of dictatorial government edicts.
You know, and Rod, the sad thing is that it wasn't just my son and I. There were a lot of really, really good people. People who worked in justice, people who worked in healthcare, people who worked in the school system that were terminated. There's other departments of the government that don't really get a whole lot of attention, but people from those departments were terminated as well. And it's kind of ironic. It's hypocrisy. It's inconsistent. But when we first learned of this COVID, and they were talking about the pandemic, and they were talking about how risky it is, and why we should be very afraid of it. Frontline healthcare workers did not have the option of staying home. They didn't have the option of taking sick leave or any other leave. They had to be there. They were working the front lines without vaccination, without any kind of real, any kind of medical treatment. And most of them fared very, very well. Oh, you know, like seasonally, we know that there's cold, there's flus. And sometimes it adversely affects people. Sometimes people get hit very, very hard with that. But, you know, it really wasn't any worse than the COVID wasn't any worse than the flu. Then when the vaccines came out, now all of a sudden, everybody is forced to take the vaccine, even though we've gone, I don't know how many months without anybody getting sick, without anybody being hospitalized, without anybody dying. There were so many inconsistencies. You pointed some of them out with the police officers. There were inconsistencies all over. And the worst of it was the provincial governments mandating all these things, but not living up to those same mandates themselves. When they wanted to hold a function, they held their functions, and there was no social distancing. There was no, we're gonna limit this to 5 people or 10 people. They broke their own rules. There was evidence of this right across North America in the state governments and the provincial governments. So, you know, like a very double-sided message that they were sending out.
Yeah. And of course, at the same time, I mean, we can go a long ways on this COVID, all the implications of the COVID policies. And I won't want to stay on that for too long here. We're just touching on it. But the fact that they denied the use, I don't know, in Manitoba particularly, but British Columbia certainly, and I think it was pretty well universal across the country, denied doctors the opportunity to properly treat patients with natural products
Ivermectin
or other pharmaceutical products that they knew would be a benefit. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, all these things. And they treated that as if it was terrible stuff. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, well, in the States anyway, they couldn't approve the emergency use of the vaccine unless they said that there were no other alternatives, right? So, and now the FDA has come out and said, yes, doctors can prescribe ivermectin for COVID, right? They're saying it now, but it's a lot of damage has been done. And we believe that many people have died as a result of these policies that need not have died if the government had taken a more measured approach.
Yes, yeah. And they protected themselves from legal accountability. And you know, what you can really see, Rod, is that there was an agenda behind this. I don't think that it's, well, people might still be in the dark. There might be some self-imposed ignorance on their part. They just don't want to know the truth. But now in August of 2023, we've had the benefit of a lot of the research, a lot of looking at the data and seeing what the data shows. A lot of medical professionals have come out and said, you know, the measures that we took, not only were they not necessary, they didn't help, but many of those measures were very, very harmful.
Yeah.
And this is exactly why we need to stand up for every individual's, their rights, their protections, and especially the right to free speech.
Yeah. Yeah, because again, we've been censored, and now with federal bills, C-11 and C-18, making it even more difficult. The big social media giants, Facebook and Twitter, were complicit in eliminating people's access to what we consider truthful, helpful information. Anyway, those right. are the big. A hole in our democracy, and we hope it gets patched soon, because if we don't have free speech, we don't have a democracy. We don't have a country where people can do what you're doing and running for politics, because if it continues to go in this direction, they will be squeezing out everyone who has a different point of view on any topic, not just on vaccines, but on abortion, assisted suicide, gender ideology, and other things. So you're preparing now. The writ has not yet been dropped, but you and your other candidates are preparing. How many candidates do you have at this point in time that you expect to see on the ballot?
Well, right now we only have six. We're in contact with a few other people that have expressed an interest. We're hoping that that they will actually declare themselves willing to run. We're just going to have to take a wait and see approach on that, Rod.
Yeah, well, I know how that is, and sometimes it's better to focus on a few areas of strength than to spread yourself too thin. But those listening to this program in Manitoba might. Look up the Manitoba Party and look up Wayne Sturby and maybe contact you if there are people listening to this program who have an interest in putting their name forward or in supporting a candidate. Now would be a good time to get involved. So, Wayne,
for sure.
Any last thoughts for our listeners? And many of our listeners, of course, are not in Manitoba, but these issues are universal, even crossing the U.S.-Canada border. Many of the things we're facing here in Canada are the same issues that are being fought on various battlegrounds in the United States. But what do you want to make sure that our listeners hear before we close off this conversation?
Well, thank you again, Rod. I want to remind the people of Manitoba, the people of Canada, and by the way, Manitoba is very strategically located in this country. We're the Heartland Province. You're in BC. I know that BC likes to talk about beautiful British Columbia. I have visited there many, many times, and I quite agree with that. But when we promote Manitoba, we talk about the beauty that we have as well. But the thing that is really dear to my heart is the beauty of what we have as fellow Canadians. Our Charter of Rights and Freedoms begins with these words: whereas Canada is founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law. Now, Rod, those words are very, very precious to me, because number one, I don't want to live in a country where authority is arbitrary, where, you know, based on public opinion, based on whims, based on somebody's personal agenda, and maybe even worse than that, when somebody has the money that they can come in and they can actually dictate to the rest of Canadians how we're now going to live, what we're going to be subjected to. I like to live under the supremacy of God, knowing that his laws are immutable. They don't change. And that our God is a loving, gracious God. The Bible tells us that his commandments are not evil. They're not troubling. They're commandments that are designed to give us safety and peace and comfort, and the rule of law. Well, you know, now again, whose law? If we're going to live under arbitrary laws, well, then we've already seen what can happen. We have seen where a government can impose its will upon all Canadians, force you to take something, take away whatever rights, privileges, and freedoms that you have, including your right to speak your mind freely, your right to associate, your right to be with a relative who is dying and wants to have, you know, a few more minutes of comfort from a wife, a husband, a child, a brother, a sister, or just even a good friend. They have taken away all those rights, and they can do it again. Don't think that they somehow learned their lesson. So I want to remind people about our charter, the way that it begins. I spoke at length with Premier Brian Peckford, the last surviving signer of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and I asked him what went into the thinking when you chose those words: whereas Canada is founded upon principles where you recognize the supremacy of God. You know, he had such a great answer for me, but it's the answer that I suspected too. I want to remind people about that, and I want to tell them the Manitoba Party intends to do everything that we can to protect those words. And we will, I don't know if I can use the word, if I should use the word fight. We're just going to work very hard to protect those rights.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yes, Premier Peckford, the Honorable Brian Peckford is one of our national treasures right now, and especially important piece on the chessboard, because, as you have mentioned, he was there. And mm-hmm. when judges or other premiers try to minimize the opening phrase, the supremacy of God and the rule of law, Brian Peckford says, no, that is a part of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And we put it there, yes, on purpose. And when we referred to God, we referred to the Christian God, the Judeo-Christian God, because we didn't know there was any other God. He says that's the way, he said, we looked at it from a Christian point of view. So to try to transmute that into some kind of wimpy, watered-down version of something out there that we don't understand. No, he's talking about, they were talking about God. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one who gives us life and breath, made us in his image, male and female he made us, and he put us on this planet to represent him as his ambassador. So thank you for doing that in Manitoba. Your website, Manitoba Party, is, go ahead,
www.manitobaparty.ca.
Very simple. Manitoba Party.
Very simple, yeah.
All right. Well, Wayne, we thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you all the best on the campaign trail, you and your other candidates. And I'm sure that you will have some more join you before the polls close. And we hope you win some seats and win some hearts and some appreciation for your efforts to make Manitoba a better place. Thank you so much, sir.
Rod, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. All the best to you and all the best to the Christian Heritage Party.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
You too. Bye now.